W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The ex-worker who shot fellow Walmart employees last night in Evansville, Indiana, wrote that he wanted to die. Police Chief Billy Bowen says the man left a suicide note and says one co-worker may have saved lives by calling police while locking the break room door.
I have no doubt that he was going back to finish what he started, and we would probably have a dead victim today instead of one that's alive.
Officers killed the gunman after he tried to escape. The family of an unarmed black man who died after being repeatedly tasered by police, now suing in Los Angeles for $50 million. Federal prosecutors announcing they've arrested three active duty U.S. Marines for their roles in the January 6th insurrection. ABC Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
All three Marines worked in military intelligence. The FBI says Coomer was eager for civil war. At one point messaging an acquaintance, "Everything in this country is corrupt. We honestly need a fresh restart."
This is ABC News. Actor Alec Baldwin now facing involuntary manslaughter charges in the accidental shooting death of the movie Russ cinematographer. Here's ABC's Matt Rivers.
Baldwin was using the Colt 45 revolver during rehearsal on the New Mexico set when it fired a live round, killing Hutchins and injuring the director. He has denied pulling the trigger.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
But the DA says an FBI report shows the gun was fully functional on that set and did not misfire.
The trigger had to have been pulled. So Alec is wrong.
Baldwin's attorney saying Alec, quote, relied on the professionals with whom he worked, who assured him the gun did not have live rounds.
Arizona's new governor, Katie Hobbs, pausing all executions in her state while a board reviews how they're conducted. The state has had problems with earlier lethal injection death sentences.
We just want to make sure the practices are sound and that we don't end up with botched executions like we've seen recently.
Andy Field, ABC News.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495.
He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I was about to get on the radio and be interviewed, and all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye move. It was a squirrel.
Oh, that's not good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I couldn't find the squirrel, but I knew it was somewhere in the house. I ended up naming him Albert. He was relocated to Brookfield, so he is now a suburban squirrel.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute? When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad. Your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad. Your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey. Why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
We have free ad space that we want to give to small businesses across Wisconsin. Save the application date on Thursday, January 26th. Only. And you can find it on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can also find it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's a friendly competition inside the Civic Media network of our hosts. So for this giveaway, be sure to tell them that you heard it from As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinair and Kristen Bry.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha, Madison tonight. A very good morning to you, Jane Matinair.
And right back to you, Kristen Bry. So how is the home office setup?
It is great. Are we live streaming?
We are. Wow. Oh, thank you for reminding me.
There you go. It's because I cannot start that from here. But we are in the home, the new home studio, with some soundproofing and fun background and a nice camera. So anyone who is watching the live stream today, feel free to give feedback on what the setup looks like. But we are having fun. Happy Friday. TGIF. We have a very fun show coming up today. Later in the show, we haven't had him on for a while, but in the last hour, Matt Miller is going to be here, the culture editor from On Milwaukee, and we're going to be talking about the Oscar nominations, which are coming next week, and also kind of where Jane and I ended yesterday, but we didn't have enough time to get into. When it comes to movies that are very cerebral, are you allowed to just not like it without getting it? Because I feel like sometimes there's people like, well, you just didn't get it. That's why you didn't like it. It's like, no, maybe I just didn't like it. So we're going to talk about that with Matt in the third hour. But then in the second hour, Hans Dram, who is the president of Dram Corporation up in Manitowoc, is going to be here because they just did an expansion to their headquarters. And it's very, very sustainable. I'm so excited. Like reading about, it's like 74% recyclable materials. Their carpet has like a zero carbon footprint. There's a bunch of solar panels. And so like talking to him about one, how hard it was, if it was harder or easier to do it that way, if it was more or less expensive to do it that way, and like what other companies can take from it to potentially have their expansions and new buildings follow the same footprint. But to start, I mean, that's kind of as we talk about the companies that are making choices to do their part when it comes to climate change. I think we're all feeling, it doesn't take like a scientist or a meteorologist to, you know, recognize that Wisconsin winters are feeling a little warmer.
It's not supposed to be like this.
I mean, it's, you know, I've only been back for, I got back March 2020. So this is technically my third winter. And 2020 into 2021, we had a ton of snow. last winter didn't feel like it was severe, but it felt long. Like, I feel like it took forever. Like, there was no spring. It just took forever to actually feel sunny and warm. And, you know, besides Christmas, this month has been fine.
Yeah. It's
this month has felt like San Francisco in January, if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah. And again, it's a lovely break and nobody wants it to be 30 below, but there are ramifications because of this. I told you,
yes.
I know I told you earlier, I have snapdragons now that overwinter. That shouldn't happen. They're annuals. They're not perennials.
So that's a plant.
It's a plant. It's a snapdragon is a flower.
It's not a pet.
No. You could name something a snapdragon, but no, a snapdragon is a flower, and the seeds fall off, and then they're supposed to die. And I have a little garden now of snapdragons that keep coming back, which is lovely, but this should not happen here.
Yes. And, you know, I think to a certain extent, when we talk about population and getting people to move to Wisconsin, having not as a severe winter is maybe a plus, but ultimately what this is doing to the ecosystem, like, it's supposed to get cold. And yesterday, there was an article in Caitlin Luby wrote an article about how little ice there is on Lake Michigan right
now.
Yeah,
I saw that.
And there was also, even before that, that I had bookmarked to come back to, was an article from PBS from Nathan Desnin, and kind of saying the same thing. Climate change is warming Wisconsin winters faster than other seasons. And so in Milwaukee and Green Bay have experienced two of the five fastest warming winters in major cities across America.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not even just, comparatively to ourselves, it's warmer. It's like we're warming faster than almost any other cities in the last half century. And it's warming by about 6 degrees. It's been warming about 6 degrees Fahrenheit on average. And so, you know, besides lamenting for the fishermen, the ice fishers who are, maybe, and it makes me think of thinking about Caitlin's article, what's it like in the three lakes in Madison for Wingrove, Mendota, and Monona? Like, are those frozen over? Rivers obviously don't freeze over unless it's really cold, but like the bodies of water all across the state, how many of them are also not frozen over right now? Because it sounds like there's a lot of ramifications with how there's only 3% of the Great Lakes. So this is all of them, has ice as of last Friday.
And didn't she also include in that article, Kristen, that the storm that Buffalo just got creamed with, one of the reasons why it was so bad is because there was no ice to break the waves, which allowed them to just wash all over these people. It was a nightmare.
What I understand is because the warmer it is, the more moisture there's in the air. So if you think about evaporation and how we get precipitation, being rain or snow, it's because there's moisture in the air that's going up to the clouds. And so having colder temperatures and ice decreases the amount of moisture in the air. And so, I mean, it's kind of funny to read that as like the lake effect that snowfalls, like what happened in Buffalo, because at least in Milwaukee and Waukesha, there's certainly no snow on the ground yesterday. How much snow did the rest of the state get yesterday? Did you see anything?
I think it was, it might've been 6 inches, possibly, you know, middle of the state and north.
But not terrible? Is that considered terrible?
I don't think six is terrible.
No.
Nah.
So it's obviously there's can be more snow. It's also dramatically impacting ecosystems. And so reading this, especially because we started earlier in the week talking about PFAS in the Great Lakes and how much eating one serving of freshwater fish right now is as bad as drinking contaminated PFAS water for a month. So not a great week for fish, apparently.
It's been a down week for fish.
Not great. And so, you know, so this is indication of, I'm not trying to laugh, the climate shifting and a reflective of like the gradual trend that we've seen on the Great Lakes and in Wisconsin, like year over year. And I saw this, and I don't like when it's something like this, it's like, you always just feel helpless because you're like, what do I do to keep the winters from getting as cold as they should be? But I saw this a couple weeks ago as far as this is, it's expensive to address climate change, but it's also expensive not to. Because I saw this from NPR like a week ago, and the headline was extreme weather fueled by climate change cost the U.S. $165 billion in 2022 alone.
And that, what does that encompass?
So if you think about it, there was 18 separate disasters in 2022 in America, and the damages exceeded $1 billion. Where the damages in each of those 18 instances was over $1 billion. So it's like in Florida, there was the hurricane.
Right.
There was catastrophic flooding in eastern Kentucky.
And California.
There's crippling heat waves. Well, that was this year.
Oh, right.
This is just talking about last year.
Sorry.
Yeah. Crippling heat waves in the Northeast and the West, a mega drought. And so it's just like thing after thing. And it costs a lot of money to fix the towns and cities that just get wrecked by this. And so it's just like, at what point for people who are fiscally conservative, the trade-off of how much it costs us to fix things when they go bad, then, and the trade-off of changing how we do things, whether like, and like, obviously both are expensive, and I don't know the numbers enough to know what the trade-off is. But $165 billion is not nothing, especially as we are talking about what can we cut? Yeah. What can we cut so we don't hit the debt ceiling?
Right. Well, and you make a very good point. When I think about some of the communities in Florida that were devastated last year, will they ever come back? I mean, some of those places, there's that one little place that was almost completely wiped off the map.
Sanibel? Did I say that right?
Near Sanibel. And do you rebuild?
Because it was the bridge. The bridge to get there was gone. Totally ruined.
And so do you keep rebuilding in these places? This seems bad. Do you keep developing along waterfronts? This seems unwise.
Well, it's interesting. And I think it probably depends on what the political will and the people who frequent those places want to invest in. Because I remember, 2016 or 2017, when Hurricane Maria just devastated Puerto Rico and a lot of the Caribbean. Oh, that was 2018. Because I remember, you know, St. Bart's, which is a very bougie, expensive island.
Yeah.
Also got totally demolished. And so did St. Martin, which was next to it. And the two, I've been to both. And one is a Dutch colony. And the other one was French. And one is much richer than the other. And I think right now, like St. Bart's was built back pretty quickly because there was a lot of very wealthy people who like going to St. Bart's. And so the political will and the financial will to fix it was there, despite there's nothing to say that it's not going to get smashed by a hurricane again. But they wanted it back, right? And so I think it just comes down to like, what do people want to spend their money on? And so, all right, well, coming up next, remember that time that Wisconsin was almost like Texas? We're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies overnight with lows around 20. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 28. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 23. Overcast skies Sunday. Decreasing clouds by Monday. Highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 24.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We were talking about the unusually warm January, and while it feels good in the short term, maybe not so good in the long term. And we got Jack on the line. Jack, what do you have to say?
Well, according to information from NASA that studies climate change, climate-related weather events, and this I'm sure doesn't cost, counting the human cost, but they've cost something between $2 and $3 trillion already. And this is just the beginning. If we don't do something about this pretty soon, it's going to get seriously expensive. And there really is a way we can finance this, and it's not very hard to do. If you recall what happened last spring with gasoline prices and the huge, huge profits oil companies made, there's a little thing. I own stock in one of those companies, inherited from my dad. And there's a little thing that it's a tax break. As a matter of fact, it's been called the biggest tax break in history that oil companies get. It's called the mineral depletion allowance. And basically, for every barrel of oil they pump out of the ground, they get a tax break instead of having to pay a royalty on it. If we were to simply take that money and transfer it into putting into production and promotion of electric vehicles and electrification and home solar panels, things like that, we could solve this problem, and we could probably solve it within a decade. But it's going to take, people like Manchin aren't going to like it because they've been bought off. They have huge donors from the oil and coal industries. So it's going to be very difficult to do politically. But we have the way. We can do it.
And it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting too that these are some in this party say that it's all about the children and it's all about the future of our children and our children, except they won't be able to breathe or drink the water or any of that stuff. But otherwise, everything is for the kids.
You mean because, like, with, like, the deficit?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, they're going to inherit so much debt as the country. But it's like, we're also just going to ruin the earth for them, too.
Poison the planet and it'll all be fine.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call, Jack. That's an interesting idea that he proposed as far as that. I wonder if there's been any... I've never heard of a politician proposing that, which doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It's just that I didn't hear about it. But speaking of energy companies, so remember when, it was actually cold, which is not what it is right now in January, but a month ago at Christmas, and We Energies
became Ebenezer Scrooge.
And they sent out that little message, didn't they?
Yes, on December 23rd, they sent a message asking that you crank down your thermostat to conserve natural gas on one of the coldest nights of, well, probably one of the coldest nights of this year, but also one of the coldest nights in the last couple years. And then by, it was a Christmas miracle, and by the morning, everything was resolved, apparently. And so Carl Ebert over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a bit of a deep dive on what happened. And really, we were pretty close to having a meltdown the same way Texas did in 2021.
Seriously.
And we may have been, as Wisconsinites, we might have been a little bit more prepared because we know cold, well, which got, Texans do not.
Yeah, we got lots of layers.
But still, I mean, but it was also colder here than it was in Texas at that point. But everything's relative, but still the power grid and what was happening there, we came really close to. So basically, the emergency was triggered when there was a pipeline, Guardian Pipeline LLC, which is the company that operates the largest pipeline that feeds We Energies. And they had to dramatically cut the utility supply because there was a problem somewhere in Illinois at like a compression station. And 30% of the gas on this, the biggest pipeline, was just like not available. And so luckily, it's one thing, because I feel like we complain about We Energies a lot, but it sounds like they really thankfully had protocol and like emergency plan, because they were able to stabilize it before the worst case scenario, which would have been a gas service shutdown on a night where it was like the closest it's been, like the coldest it's been in 3 years.
Wow.
And Christmas.
Yeah.
And so in the article, the executive vice president at We Energies said, "We've never seen an interstate pipeline failure like this, but we have thought about these things a lot." And so had it gotten to the point where We Energies needed to cut off service, customers would have been without service for days or weeks. And once gas service is lost, utility workers need to go door to door to restore service.
Oh, wow. That's,
and you can imagine how long that would take.
That's terrifying.
Isn't that really scary?
Yes.
And so obviously that didn't happen. And like, so hats off to both We Energies for, you know, sending that message, and also hats off to enough customers that complied, because I think there's certainly some people who probably got that message, especially after knowing that their utility bill was going up, that wanted to give like a middle finger to We Energies and say, "I'm not doing that."
In fact, but, I'm going up to 75.
Yeah, put it up even more. And but thankfully, so if you were one of the people that thought of the whole instead of just yourself, you can thank yourself. You can give yourself a pat on the back for being part of the reason that everyone's Christmas wasn't ruined. Jeez. But yeah, that's good to know that didn't happen. But all right, well, coming up next, did you know that there is a $1 trillion coin just waiting to be minted? It's there. It could happen. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
And talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley, Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The ex-worker who shot fellow Walmart employees last night in Evansville, Indiana, wrote that he wanted to die. Police Chief Billy Bowen says the man left a suicide note and says one co-worker may have saved lives by calling police while locking the break room door.
I have no doubt that he was going back to finish what he started, and we would probably have a dead victim today instead of one that's alive.
Officers killed the gunman after he tried to escape. The family of an unarmed black man who died after being repeatedly tasered by police, now suing in Los Angeles for $50 million. Federal prosecutors announcing they've arrested three active-duty U.S. Marines for their roles in the January 6th insurrection. ABC Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
All three Marines worked in military intelligence. The FBI says Coomer was eager for civil war. At one point, messaging an acquaintance, "Everything in this country is corrupt. We honestly need a fresh restart."
This is ABC News.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Did you hear about the vampire that was found? Headline is, skeleton of female, quote, vampire, unearthed at cemetery in Poland.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
A sharp sickle was placed across her neck and a padlock was put around her big toe. Her burial reveals fear around vampires.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale.
To the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe. Giraffe. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Jamie Matinere is on the board. Happy Friday. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in this Friday. A reminder that if you miss any part of this show or you have something else to do, we don't blame you, but you can always go back and listen to the parts that you missed as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. You can also subscribe there while you're there.
Oh, do that.
And you can always, what?
Do that. Subscribe.
Yeah, do that.
Subscribe.
And you can always join the conversation at 844-967-2789. So yesterday we talked about
we ran, you know, we crashed into our debt ceiling at $31.4 trillion. And now we, as the public, wait to see how negotiations will go, how close we will get to June and looming disaster. But we didn't really talk about as much what we're doing to stave off disaster until then. And so the Treasury Department, Janet Yellen, is now doing what is called extraordinary measures, which I guess is like an actual thing that has a definition.
It's a procedure, right?
It's a procedure. It's not just a descriptor. It's like, actually, it's like, all right, now we're moving into this thing that is called extraordinary measures rather than, you know.
Yikes.
Yes. And so
we're screwed.
Yes. Or just, you know, titling something else. Like, this is bad. And so it's deep cut accounting moves that allow the Treasury to continue making payments. So it includes suspending reinvestments into government funds for retired federal employees, such as Civil Service Retirement and Disability Fund. It's selling existing investments in those funds to free up more outstanding debt. And I guess the measures aren't necessarily ordinary, but they're also not necessarily that extra either, because we've done it 12 times since 1985.
Really? We've gone into this extraordinary measures 12 mm-hmm. times.
And including in 2021, we did this as well, apparently. So we've done it before. We'll likely do it again. But it's I saw when I was reading this, I saw a great analogy of this is basically like chugging water after you eat a habanero pepper or something really hot, where it's like, drink milk, not water, because the pain will come back. And it's only temporarily fixed because this is only going to last till June. And so 5 months, you think they could do this in 5 months?
They're going to, they've done it before. So apparently it's doable.
But with this, I don't know. Because it goes back to what I was saying before. It's like, who owns this if it gets really bad? Like, which political party owns this if we don't get there?
Well, it's the Republicans. Isn't it? I mean,
I would assume, obviously, you and I think that, and there's a lot of people who think that. But is there a way that they're going to spin it and be like, well, the White House and Democrats didn't negotiate either? And so if they're, because that's basically what I understand this is, people aren't willing to, like, there's not a lot of movement so far of what's going to be the pull and tug, give and take. That's what I meant. Give and take.
Push and pull.
Pull and tug. That feels dirty for some reason. That's not what I meant to say.
It was a little innuendo-ish.
Yes. Yes. It was. I was like, this is coming out of my mouth, but I don't think this is what I mean.
Give and take. I get your point, but I also think that when this has happened in the past, that has not been the takeaway from the American people. When national parks shut down, when civil service employees aren't getting paid, they look to the people who said, no, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling, which we've done over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. And I think if the Democrats come back with Rick Scott's plan, which was to gut Social Security and Medicare and throw that at them and don't let up.
But that also feels like a losing battle, because there's so many people who rely on that and so many people who vote who rely on that. And after this segment, we're going to talk about a similar thing that's happening in France when it comes to retirement and retirement age and pensions, that I don't know if it would happen here or not. But one thing that has been thrown out, it's not really a conspiracy. It's like it's a theory. I don't think there's conspiracy around it. It's just a theory. And so we've never defaulted. It could happen. It might not happen. But sometime this week, Janet Yellen came out and said what she's not going to do. which is what is not in the extraordinary measures, is she does not intend on minting a platinum coin that is worth $1 trillion.
That was actually floated as an idea.
It has been floating around. This this concept is has been floating around since like for the last 10 years.
To have a $1 trillion coin.
So I didn't hear about this until it kind of got reintroduced this week as I was researching more about the debt ceiling. So it's the platinum coin idea, or hashtag mint the coin. And there's some people who are really into this. And so it started in a 1997 law intended to help the mint make money off of coin collectors. And so it gives the Treasury, Treasury Secretary, the power to mint platinum coins of any denomination for any reason. So when commenters discovered this law during the 2011 and 2013 debt ceiling battles, they realized that this power could offer a way to sidestep the legal cap Congress places on the federal government's borrowing. And so they, so it's legal, I guess. I mean, they're not, she said they're not going to do this. But basically, how it would work is instead of issuing new debt and running afoul of the debt ceiling, the Treasury Secretary could simply fund the government by minting platinum coins. And so there's a bunch of people who've like promoted this idea who are not just bros on the internet. And so former U.S. Mint Director Philip Deal agreed it would work. Influential voices like financial journalist Joe Weisenthal and New York Times columnist Paul Krugman have also promoted this idea. And it, but I guess like there, it, I don't know if you would want to describe him as a bro, but reading this article, so this is from Vox, I found, and Dylan Matthews interviewed this guy who I guess it originally came from. So it was like, it was brought to attention to all these influential financial people by a guy, a blog commenter named Beowulf, which is telling in of itself, right?
First name, I'm sure.
I'm sure. So they conceived of the idea in a short comment on financier Warren Mosler's blog post in 2010. And this is what it said. Curiously enough, Congress has already delegated to the Treasury all the signatory power authority it needs to mint a $1 trillion coin. The catch is it's got to be made of platinum. So it has to be made of a certain type of metal. And he said, ditto the balls of any president who would try this. So for a 1 ounce coin, the Treasury could net $999 billion, one, all the other numbers into that. So he goes on to interview this guy, and I'm not going to read the transcript of that, but you can go check it out. It's on Vox by Dylan Matthews. And I mean, wouldn't that just be nice if we could just, just print a coin and just be like, here you go. Everything's good now, right? We're cool. Great.
I'm still confused. So the U.S. government makes this coin. They don't sell it to someone.
No, they don't. I don't think so. I think they just use it to pay off the debt.
So it's protected.
So I understand it.
So it's monopoly money. It's, yes, we invented this thing and we've assigned this value to it, even though there's nothing backing it up. And so now we're good.
This just goes back to like money is not real.
No kidding.
Like, and granted, they're not doing this, but it's just an idea that floats around that the fact that like someone like Paul Krugman, who I know some people like, some people don't, but you know, people who dedicate their lives to understanding markets and are like political finances are like, yeah, I mean,
we can do it.
And I don't know what that would end up meaning for inflation, but it's sometimes where it's just the fact that this is even legal or could happen makes me think like, what is money? When we talk about how expensive things are and our deficit and our debt ceiling and the budget and how much things cost, it's like, and it's in the trillions and trillions of dollars where a not money person, like a not number person like me, my eyes glaze over. It's like, it's can't even fathom how much money that is at a certain point.
Yeah, I'm right there
with
you.
When it can just it could just be a race like that. What does any of this mean?
All I can think of, though, because Alexander Hamilton was the one who set up our banking system, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What would he think?
I saw the musical Hamilton. Like, that's how I understood it.
That's my takeaway. But what would his takeaway be from something like that? That we're just going to invent this thing and pretend it's valuable, and then we'll all go on our merry way. This doesn't seem responsible or sustainable. But again, this is math, and so I should probably not comment on anything mathematical at all.
Yes, and we're not doing it. So this is all a hypothetical that I'm talking about mostly because I feel like it's funny, and it's kind of a funny Friday talk. I'm also like, when you look at pictures of Janet Yellen and like how serious she looks, like she looks like the like she could play Trunchbull. Is that the in Matilda? You never seen Matilda?
No.
It's the principal Trunchbull. I forget if I'm saying her name right, but she's like a domineering,
very severe,
mean, very severe. And I have no idea if Janet Yellen is or not, but she doesn't look like someone who is necessarily like jokes around
or a pushover either.
Or a pushover. And so I think she refers to this apparently as a gimmick. And so as long as she's in charge, we're not really at risk of this.
Gonna do
but
that. Good.
The fact that there are people who promote this, I think, is very funny.
When you first started talking about it, I thought this was something that you could actually buy. And if you were a dude bro, wouldn't that be like the biggest letdown in the world if you had $1 trillion and all you had was this puny little coin? It's like, ew, look at my coin. Ew.
And like, how do you cash that in to then go buy something with it? You're like, right. Well, I got this 1 ounce coin.
Can you make
change? Have change? When I buy my Bugatti with it, can you give me change for this $1 trillion coin and other $1 billion coins? Like, how does that work? So if you think this would be a good idea, if you've heard of this before, and if you think that this could actually work, and Janet Yellen should consider this, 844-967-2789. It seems ludicrous to me, but what do I know? I do like the idea of asking for change.
I do too. I think that's priceless.
Here you go. Like when you buy a house or something, like, you got change for this? Right. Like, go to the bank. Well, one thing that gets thrown around as far as what our solution to this could be is talking about Social Security and people who are retiring. And France is also having a similar issue. So when we come back, you know, maybe we'll take some lessons from the French. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Haven't you always wanted a monkey? If I had $1 million, I'd buy you.
I'm Martin Hoke, the inventor of Navage Nasal Care, and I love Navage. I've told you about how your nose is the body's air filter, that Navage's powered suction will help flush out allergens, viruses, mucus, and germs, and that Navage will help you breathe better. But what do other people say about Navage? Like Tara, quote, "My doctor wanted me to do saline rinses for my allergies, but I've never been able to successfully use a neti pot. Navage uses suction power, so it's foolproof. There are nights when I'll have particularly bothersome allergies. I'll bust it out, and the results are immediate. It's such a relief. It's become a lifesaver." Unquote. She's one of over 100,000 online reviews praising Navage, the all-natural solution trusted by over 3 million people to help you breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and stay healthier without drugs. Navage is available at Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Target, Rite Aid, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E, clean nose, healthy life.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a low of 20. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 28 tomorrow. Overcast skies. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 23. Cloudy skies. Dry with temperatures above average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 24.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. This is Friday, TGIF. And quick reminder that we're less than a week away from the $1 million ad giveaway. So if you are a business in Wisconsin and you think you could benefit from some free advertising across our expanding empire of radio stations in Wisconsin, we want to help you. Let us help you. And so on Thursday, January 26th, only starting at 9 a.m., if you go to civicmedia.us/million, all you have to do is answer a couple questions and apply, and our sales team will help you come up with ad campaigns that will air across either on one local station, if you have, there's only one region you want to reach, but even across all of our regions, which basically covers all of Wisconsin at this point, which is wild.
It's really exciting.
And it's super exciting. And so mark your calendars, 9 a.m. Thursday, January 26th, this coming Thursday, civicmedia.us/million. But once you get there, you got to remember Jane and Kristen sent you.
We'd really appreciate that.
As Goes Wisconsin sent you.
Yes,
we'd appreciate that. And even if you listen to some of the other shows and you're hearing some of the other hosts.
And we love them.
We all know. We love them.
We do. We love
but
them.
But we know you love us the most. And so you want to give us credit for sending you there.
It's a loyalty test.
We're going to be checking. So mark your calendars now. So striking. The French love to strike. Before we get into the story, this was 2016. I went to Paris by myself, which was a great trip. And it was very fun to do. It's one of my few, like, not work, just solo vacations. Highly recommend. And I'm going to butcher all these names because I never, as many French lessons as I took, it did, the accent and the pronunciation did not stick, but I was on the
Champs-Élysées.
Thank you. At night. And there was like kind of a protest, kind of a party, but the streets were just full of people with picket signs, but there was music and there was dancing. And I was like, what's going on? They're like, oh, this is a protest for some kind of train something. I don't know. I can't even remember what it was, but I was like, and that was my first exposure to the French really embrace protest. And now, yesterday, more than 1 million French people, which as a proportion of their population is a lot, protested President Emmanuel Macron's controversial plan to raise the country's minimum retirement age from 62 to 64, which, you know, let's just acknowledge it's even 64 is lower than it is here.
Yes.
But for them, you know, the French love their leisure.
They do.
And they are not happy about this. So many workers went on strike, resulting in the closing of schools and the cancellation of transit routes, the cancellation of flights. But like, this is not just this protest is not going to end it because, there's going to be another day of strikes on January 31st.
But Macron is saying that lifting the retirement age is necessary to keep the country's pension fund from drying up. And I think, like, there's two things that pop up for me when I think about this story is, you know, we protest, but I don't feel like we protest like the French protest.
They do it with a little more panache.
And, I mean, is it that they're more organized? Or, you know, like, certain causes certainly protest and go on strike. But, like, have we ever done something collectively that, you know, shut down schools and transit and flights?
They must have far more and far stronger labor unions than we do in France.
Maybe. I don't know. But it just, I was just trying to think of, like, is getting a million people. And, like, you know, when we, like I said earlier this week about the Women's March in 2017, so January 2017, you know, across the, I mean, there was 700,000 people just in D.C. So I think across the country, certainly more than a million people marched that day, but it wasn't disruptive as far as shutting down schools,
right,
or transit. And so I'm trying to think of anything that's ever collectively happened. And granted, our country's a lot bigger. I mean, I think they have 70 some million people compared to our 300 65 million, I think. I'm kind of, it's around that. But I was trying to think as I read this, like, have there been a collective movement big enough to cause that much disruption? I mean, I guess kind of had the train strike actually gone through and the negotiations that was happening at near the end of 2022, that would have been really disruptive. But, like, government just kind of shut that down. I was like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah, not happening.
But my other question is, as they're talking about ways to alter Social Security, would that be, do you think that's on the table here of changing it from, like, 65 to 68, 65 to 70? And is that what you've heard? Is that how they would potentially change it? It's just like, you got to work longer.
Yes. And from what I understand, and I'm going to try and track someone down who can really break this down for us, there are a whole bunch of different categories within Social Security. And so it would have wide-ranging effects. And I think my retirement age right now is already 67. If I want my full benefits, I would have to wait until 67. Not even 65.
Which you're going to, because you're going to be with me for another 4 years.
Naturally, at least until I'm 100. But I mean,
I'm keeping you young, Dave.
And that's not, you're not inaccurate about that. However, do we want everybody work until they're 75? Seriously?
Well, are there jobs that people, because think about the ageism that happens in so many different industries. I mean, just go into politics, then maybe you're going to be fine because we got plenty of 75-year-olds in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, for other industries, as people get older and they don't get promoted or they can't switch jobs because people are like, well, how long are you even going to be here? And you can't learn new technology. And, like, a lot of the ageism that happens, it's like, are industries even going to allow people who have to keep working the opportunities that, like, provide a living wage? Like, it's just,
no,
it's such a,
well, it's like we're all doomed to be door greeters somewhere into our 80s, which is really attractive to me.
You wouldn't like to, you know, I sat when we went to Kohler and the American Club, whenever that's in September, there was a very sweet greeter at the museum where they have, like, the display room and then the museum's in the basement, where I learned all about the American Club and how it was originally built for immigrants and everything. And he was very sweet and
was
very
he?
Talkative. Yes.
Well, you that's, tell more this of a, is... that's more of a docent kind of spot. I'd be a good docent. I don't think I'd be a good greeter. Don't come in my
good to know.
Don't come in my store with attitude. We're going to have problems.
All right. Well, we have the top of the hour news coming up. And after that, call Scooby-Doo and the gang, because we got a real who's done it on our hands. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Girl, join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge. And then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.